We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hey, this is Stephen A. Smith from No Mercy. Festivals, football, flannels. Some say fall is their favorite time of year. And this fall, there are now updated COVID-19 booster shots designed to help protect against COVID-19 variants. If you've had your primary series, schedule an updated COVID-19 booster shot appointment as soon as you're eligible. And don't forget to enjoy the foliage, sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
You're listening to the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. Now, here's your host, Faraz Siddiqui and Zach Rizzuto.
Latavius Murray, you know, he ended up playing an every down role for the Broncos. 82% of snaps played on 2-minute snaps, played on third down, in addition to his normal early down role. It's most likely Mike Boone gets that, you know, passing down role back once he's back from IR. Could be as early as this upcoming week. So he is eligible to be back this week. So keep that in mind. But, like, you know, even someone who was as inefficient as Murray, they have the chance to be efficient, you know, if they're getting the volume like he did this week. Same thing we saw with Zeke the week, you know, on Thanksgiving. You know, it's like it's going to happen eventually. They're going to break off, you know, a run here or there. And, you know, Murray, despite him being 47 years old, like, he's still able, you know, to have production if he's going to be given that type of those type of snaps and that type of volume.
Yeah, he beat everybody else out in his backfield by a mile. I know they signed Marlon Mack, and he had a while ago. He had no, you know, influence on Latavius Murray's carries. The problem with me is it's the same problem I have with Damian Pierce, who we'll talk about soon. But Latavius Murray, he's in such a bad offense. I don't think it could get much worse watching this offense. You know, just as a side note to Latavius Murray, this offense is so bad. It's just ridiculous. They got set up inside the 15-yard line, I think, on a interception or fumble, something. There was a muff punt, something like that. And they proceeded to go 0 yards with it and kick a field goal. Like, that is just ridiculous. For Russell Wilson, a quarterback, I can't stand this offense.
Zach Stevens, who is the Broncos beat reporter for the Denver.com, he tweeted out yesterday that the Broncos – 14.3 points per game this year is the worst in the NFL since 2000. That's more than 20 years ago.
Yeah.
This is the worst offense in 20 years.
Pretty much.
Last 25 years. That's with Russell Wilson at quarterback.
It's just painful watching his offense sometimes. Latavius Murray, if he gets that type of workload moving forward, maybe he's a low end RB2 for me. But yeah. That's what we saw yesterday.
I just don't think it's going to continue.
No, it's not.
If Mike Boone ends up coming back, like, it's over. And it's going to be really hard for me to start Murray most weeks.
Yeah, no, it's not going to continue. And we know that. We've known that with Latavius Murray. He's, you know, liable to lose his work anytime someone else steps into the backfield. But for this week, he was a low-end RB2. If he gets this type of work every week, like I said, he'll be a low-end RB2. His upside is just non-existent. But, yeah, you're not going to want to start him if somebody else enters the backfield. Like you said, Mike Boone. You might be able to milk one more week out of him if Mike Boone, you know, takes a little bit more time coming back. Because at this point, there's no need to rush anybody back because his team isn't going anywhere.
No. Mike Evans, extremely disappointing in this game.
Yeah.
We saw multiple long balls go his way, but nothing really connected. 9 targets, but only 2 catches for 31 yards. This is a game to forget for Mike Evans. He's been quiet over the last few games. You know, I'm not sure what's going on. You know, like, usually he's able to come through, but the last 3 games, he's been very, very quiet. I'm going to have to downgrade him a little bit. Obviously, you know, his ceiling is there, you know, any given game, but we haven't seen that ceiling this year. You know, early in the season, we saw some games, but lately it's been bad. So I'm going to have to downgrade Mike Evans. Like, I've been having him, you know, close to that wide receiver one spot as a top 15 wide receiver, but I'm going to have to downgrade him moving forward, especially in this matchup against the Browns. It was a good one, you know? And then you have Chris Godwin, you know, who ended up catching 12 or 13 targets for 110 yards and a touchdown in a matchup where the Browns were really, really good against slot wide receivers this year. So I'm going to have to be ranking Godwin over Evans moving forward.
Do you think Tom Brady has a new favorite target? I don't know if Mike Evans was ever his favorite target. You know, you like to think that it would be, but, you know, the way Mike Evans has been playing, at least I don't want to attribute it to his play, because we know the talent that he is, and we know Tom Brady can throw it to him, but 9 targets and only 2 catches, that's inexcusable. That's just a terrible, you know, performance for Mike Evans coming into this, and it was a good matchup for him. We talked about him being a bye a couple weeks ago, at least I did specifically, I think, about him being a bye, and he has just, you know, shit the bed completely these past few weeks. The upside has been non-existent. We know the upside, it's still there, you know, it's still there. It's not like it's gone. It's just he keeps putting up these bad performances. He's probably lost you a couple of weeks. But with Chris Godwin, he's been consistent, and now the production is starting to catch up to the volume that he's been getting. He's been getting consistent volume every week. He's had a super nice floor, and this week he came through with a nice ceiling. 29 points in PPR off 12 catches. You know, he was a monster for PPR. And 110 yards and a touchdown, he's fine for standard too. He looked like the only receiver that was really getting anything done in the receiving game. Julio Jones had a couple catches here and there, but he's Julio Jones. You know, he's pretty much a compliment to these two anyway. But as long as Tom Brady continues to hyper-target Chris Godwin, you know, you're in good shape with him. He might be a low-end wide receiver one for me now, you know, just based off the usage alone.
And then on top of that, you have Rashad White, who played an every-down role, you know, for the Bucs without Leonard Fournette. 90% of snaps, 14 carries, 9 catches on 9 targets. That's 23 touches for a total of 109 yards, no touchdowns. But in PPR, like, you're chilling. Like, that's great. And if Fournette is back next week, you know, you have to downgrade White a bit, but he's still startable. And I'd assume that he's going to be the 1A in that backfield, at least in the first game that Fournette is back for. You know, who knows if Fournette's going to be 100%, you know, in his first game back. Who knows if it's even going to be this upcoming week. We have no idea. But we'll see what happens. But I think regardless, I think Rashad White is still very playable. If Fournette is, let's say if Fournette's 100% healthy, I still think that White might be a low-end RB2, something like that, you know, if Fournette is good to go.
It would be a Tony Pollard-type upside situation. I mean, maybe not the touchdown upside, because the offense hasn't been as good as Dallas has been of late, but, you know, well, he's liable to do really well with the touches that he gets, even if minimal.
I see what you're saying, and, you know, I'm personally, I think – he has been a little disappointing, Rashad White, in terms of efficiency and that sort of thing, right? Like, I would have hoped to see more. Like, with the thing with Pollard is that, you know, he's so good. You know, he's so efficient. And then on top of that, he's on a good offense. You know, and the Bucs, like, they're just, you can't even consider them like a good offense anymore. You know what I mean?
They're very middle of the pack, because they have good weapons. They're just not producing up to the standard that we're used to.
The great thing is that Rashad White is a really good pass catcher. So that's a plus. Tom Brady loves to check it down when he has a good running back coming out of the backfield. So that's great. So those two things is why Rashad White is going to do well. And, you know, I was a big fan of Rashad White coming out, and I would have hoped that he would have played a little bit more efficient, you know, coming into this game and even in this game, to be honest. So, you know, this is great. Like, I'm glad the Bucs have, you know, confidence in him to play 90% of the snaps, you know, even with Gio Bernard back, and, you know, they have Keyshawn Vaughn and all that. But, you know, I'm glad that Rashad White was able to do his thing with the touches that he got. He was productive. So that's good. But my concern with Rashad White when Fournette is completely healthy is that this turns into a 50-50 split, and neither of these guys are super efficient. That's my only concern there.
The production, you know, when I say that, he's like Tony Pollard. This may have gotten a little mixed up, and I could have clarified this. But the thing about Rashad White, the production might not be efficient like Tony Pollard. But when we talk about, you know, the touches swinging his way, you know, it could be like that once Leonard Fournette comes back. Which means, you know, it's code for me saying, like, I don't mind starting him if I have to.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, so you're saying he could still be the 1A in that.
Yeah. Backfield. So he's a low end RB2 every week if Leonard Fournette comes back and he's healthy and, you know, he's getting touches. But like you've alluded to a couple of times in this podcast, and we've heard from beat reporters too, that Rashad White could take over this backfield at any time. It might be that situation like Tony Pollard has, where, you know, one game he might get all the touches, one game he might get enough touches to be fantasy relevant, and some games he might be super quiet. But it's not so much the production I'm going to liken to Tony Pollard, but the way that the touches could swing is what I'm saying. That situation could resemble a lot like what we're seeing in Dallas right now.
I can see that. Yeah, for sure. Another running back, Travis Etienne, man, he got hurt early in this game. It was a foot injury. He did say after the game, and I quote, "We'll be straight for next week." And that was Jags beat reporter John Shipley asking him how he's feeling after the game. It was initially concerning since it was the same foot as his previous Lisfranc injury. But hopefully what he's saying is true, that he'll be fine for next week. But also Doug Peterson did also say that they could have put him back in the game, but they didn't want to risk anything. So
right.
Hopefully he'll be good to go next week. Jermichael Hasty, played an every down role while Etienne was out. You know, he put up some points. Could have been Etienne's points. I'm tilting still. Yeah. Keep in mind that they just signed Darrell Henderson, who was inactive in his first week with the team. So, you know, if Etienne does miss time, then he could be active next week, you know, with Jermichael Hasty. And he could even get more touches than Jermichael Hasty. Who knows? Yeah. But hopefully Etienne will be fine and he'll be good to go and you can play him next week.
So would you say you anticipate Etienne playing? I know we're way far out yet.
I would say so.
I would anticipate him playing too.
It seems all signs seem like he should be good to go.
Yeah. Like, and I kind of point to the fact that he didn't, you know, get out of uniform. He was still in game uniform and it looked like he could have gone in if he needed to, which is weird because it was a close game. I thought maybe if it was a close game, they'd put him back in, but they didn't. Jermichael Hasty did his thing anyway. It looks like Jermichael Hasty is going to be a decent pickup, you know, if you need to, if Travis Etienne would miss time, but I don't think that's going to be the case. We just talked about Travis Etienne maybe starting. You could stash him just in case if you have the bench space, but Darrell Henderson, I'm not sure. You know, it'll be interesting to see. They didn't trade for him or anything. They just picked him up. Maybe they just went him as depth. They looked smart, you know, by picking up Darrell Henderson after Travis Etienne went down. But I'm not anticipating Darrell Henderson rotating too much into this backfield, especially, you know, if Travis Etienne's all right. It's not like he's going to be coming in and playing a 1B role to Travis Etienne. Etienne is far and away a better talent. And Darrell Henderson looks like it's just depth at this point. But if it's Jermichael Hasty leading the backfield and Travis Etienne's out, Darrell Henderson could rotate in. I don't think his ceiling is very high, but if you need someone for their floor, you know, and you had him when he was on the Rams, I could see similar production to what he was doing on the Rams, you know.
If Etienne doesn't practice all week and Henderson, you know, obviously gets some practice time in and Etienne ends up missing, I don't expect him to miss, but if he does end up missing, then I think I would just avoid this backfield, basically. I wouldn't start Hasty or Henderson.
All right, that's fair. That makes sense. It's not a good offense. The Ravens defense came back to earth in a big way against Jacksonville, but you know.
Because who knows how involved Henderson will be, you know, and Hasty isn't that good of a running back. So I'm not sure I would bother personally.
Yeah.
Jeff Wilson had an amazing matchup coming into this week against the Texans without Raheem Mostert. So of course he's going to average only 3 yards a carry. 13 carries for 39 yards. At least he scored before he got dinged up. So he was out of this game for a little while. So that obviously, you know, didn't do any favors for his volume, but he did catch only one ball for 13 yards. Didn't have the most amazing day. The ceiling wasn't as high as it could. I mean, he didn't hit the high ceiling that, you know, we thought he could hit this week. Had him as an RB1, but that didn't work out.
Jeff Wilson, you know, it looked like he was gonna have a good game, but the Dolphins offense went up, not the Dolphins offense, just Dolphins team in general went up so fast in this game. It's like there was no chance for any type of fantasy production. They pulled Tua after halftime, you know. He didn't I don't think he played another snap. Tyreek Hill had 15 points, Jalen Waddle had 13. You know, it wasn't explosive at all, but they were up by 30 at halftime. So it's like, where did the points go? You know, how did we get here so fast without any of these players doing anything? I mean, obviously Jeff Wilson, he did score that touchdown. But outside of that, I mean, no noteworthy fantasy performance came out of this game. A lot of people just kind of, you know, got their knees chopped by this performance because they didn't play half the game. You know, so if you started these guys, you're probably upset a little bit. Houston made a bit of a game at the end, and maybe you thought they'd put the starters back in just for one more run at glory. but that didn't happen. So it looks like I'm not worried about any of these players. You know, it's just the way the game script worked that they were way up on the Texans, and we thought that was going to happen. But Jeff Wilson, you know, he didn't really capitalize on a good matchup, and I was really surprised.
Yeah, unfortunately, T. Higgins comes through. Let's move to this Bengals game. You know, he came through once again with Jamar Chase out. He caught 7 of 9 targets for 114 yards and a touchdown. Tyler Boyd, man, 2 catches for 16 yards. Again, not coming through with Jamar Chase out. It was a good matchup, right? And now, we're not going to start him next week with Jamar Chase back. And of course, he's going to go off.
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
It looks like Jamar Chase is going to be back this week, though. So you'll be able to start him, hopefully.
Yeah. Trenton Irwin had a really impressive catch. You know, Tyler Boyd, I don't want to say he's getting outplayed, but Tyler Boyd has been super quiet as of late. He's kind of, I don't want to say he's looking expendable, but with Jamar Chase coming back, you know, you can't really envision him having any better production than this. But like you said, just because Jamar Chase is coming back, he's going to go off next week. We'll see.
Of course.
But T. Higgins, you know, he showed out again, like you said, and I was actually really happy to see that, besides the fact that I was playing against him this week. but, you know, we talked about it like 2 weeks ago, I think it was. We said, you know, T. Higgins has been awful quiet with Jamar Chase out, and then these past 2 weeks he's done really well. So it's like maybe we have a little power here. I don't know. But he looked really good. You know, Joe Burrow was throwing up those jump balls, and that's where he's going to make his money. And he did, definitely, against a rookie corner who wouldn't, right? If you watch a game, he was just beating him all day. You see this in the game, you know, good things are happening.
And for those who are listening, Zach is tapping his head.
The head top. Yep.
For the jump ball. Samaje Perine, 17 carries, 4 catches on 7 targets, 24 opportunities in this game, 80% of snaps. And he came through. Very solid performance despite the tough matchup. He did end up getting a goal line carry and he ended up scoring because they were able to move the ball through the air. Perine looked good, man. I think he's a good player, and you know, he looked good. You can kind of understand why they want to like mix him in a little bit with Mixon. I kind of like Perine whenever Mixon doesn't play. It kind of seems like he comes through, even in a tough matchup, he was able to do his thing.
Yeah. I mean, if you watch Perine, it was one of the things I was kind of surprised at yesterday. He's like, okay, you know,
breaking tackles and all that.
Yeah. He looked really good. Like contact balance. Like it wasn't elite, but it was just like, okay, this guy's definitely, he's not taking lightly the fact that he's getting the start today. You know, he was out there to play football and he did, and he turned in a good fantasy performance. I was, you know, pleasantly surprised by that. I've seen him play, and I picked him up in the last week of last season thinking that he'd be able to do this type of thing, and I think he got 0 touches. I remember it was really upsetting, but Samaje Perine, he looks good. I mean, can we call him a handcuff? I think we might be able to.
He's definitely a handcuff. He's been a handcuff this whole time.
Yeah. Okay, he's been super quiet. I mean, we don't see Joe Mixon miss a lot. That's why maybe I was kind of, you know,
calling him a handcuff. We did see him miss a lot before last season.
Yeah, before last season. And this season,
Perine was coming in for him. I mean, we had Gio there too for like the season before that. But in 2020, we saw a couple Perine games. But since Zach Taylor has been there, it seems like Perine has been the guy.
Yeah, and he looked good. And like you said, this was against a good defense. So who knows? He could be really good against, you know, a bad defense, like if he goes against the Texans.
So, you know, he's one of those guys that you can, you know, have stashed. I picked Perine up multiple times, you know, this year. just in case, like, Mixon were to go down, and, you know, it kind of worked out this week, except I didn't start him. Maybe I should have started him over Travis Etienne. That would have been nice.
You would never ever have caught us. You wouldn't have caught Faraz dead saying to start Samaje Perine over Travis Etienne.
I will say this, though. I mean, I only had Perine ranked, you know, 2 spots behind Etienne this week. And I was thinking about it. Not going to lie. But you know why I was thinking about it?
The Ravens defense? Because
Ravens defense, number one. Number two, I'm like, listen, Perine, like, he's going to be very involved in the pass game. And Etienne hasn't been. That was my only concern there. But it's just at the end of the day, I'm not benching.
Yeah, Etienne. We know that's the rule.
That's what it comes down to.
We know the rule. Start your studs.
Stupid rule.
hey, we've all been there. We've all been burnt. So it happens.
Oh, man. All right, let's move on to Christian McCaffrey. So Christian McCaffrey has a knee issue. It could be patellar tendonitis. That's what it seems like. It caused him to be out of the game for a while, you know, in and out of the game. I was wondering why he wasn't on the field. during the 2-minute drill at the end of the first half or inside the 5-yard line at times. But it seems like that's why. And he came back in the game. You know, Jordan Mason starts to rotate with him after Elijah Mitchell was ruled out of the game with a knee injury. And it seems like he has another MCL sprain on his other knee. Apparently it's not as severe as the first MCL sprain, but the first one caused him to miss like 6 weeks or more than that. So it was 6 to 8 weeks. That was the initial prognosis for him. So he'll probably miss some time. Now, if this CMC injury isn't serious, and it doesn't seem to be, what it seems to be is that moving forward, he might miss some practice time, but it doesn't look like he's going to miss games. Still monitor this injury, but the problem with this is, like, you know, with Mitchell out, CMC would have got all of the touches moving forward, right?
Yeah.
Like, from a fantasy perspective, it's like, all right, wheels up for CMC, put him back up at the RB1 spot, but now he has a knee issue. Mm-hmm. And with this particular knee issue, apparently the best thing to do is, you know, have a little bit of load management. So it's possible that we see Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason, you know, as a, you know, kind of, you know, Mason isn't going to be the guy to, you know, take Elijah Mitchell's role, because Elijah Mitchell is a legit good running back. Yeah. Jordan Mason, you know, it took him a while to even get these type of touches that we saw in yesterday's game. It took a couple of injuries for that to happen, but we'll see, right? It's possible that Tevin Coleman gets activated. I doubt he gets a lot of touches, but if Christian McCaffrey's good to go, if he can manage, I guess, if there's any pain associated to this injury, if he can manage that pain just to kind of close out the year, I know that they have playoff and Super Bowl aspirations here. Are they going to, you know, give Christian McCaffrey, you know, 20, 25 touches a game? I'm not sure. But with Elijah Mitchell kind of out of the way for the next several games, maybe we have a little bit of a boost in Christian McCaffrey's value despite the knee issues that he has going on right now himself.
Right. I wouldn't be mad as a Christian McCaffrey manager if they did load management this week and Elijah Mitchell misses a few more games and he comes back and he gets his full workload 2 weeks after that. I mean, unless you really need to win, you know, to get in the playoffs. It's really bad timing for this injury for Christian McCaffrey, because definitely, like you said, I was 100% going to be like, yeah, Christian McCaffrey's back. He's the RB1 overall every week. But that's not the case now. He's going to be dealing with that injury. We'll see how it affects him. He is on a better offense. Maybe if he could just get some quality touches, you know, he'll be able to do his thing. But I don't think they're going to use him as a workhorse, especially if they're rotating Elijah Mitchell in, you know, even with him being on the team. And Elijah Mitchell being healthy and Christian McCaffrey now being there, I was hoping he'd be able to get back up to that 40-point upside, but that's not going to happen at this point. I think he can get back to that. If they manage the injury the right way, he could be back to it as early as next week, assuming Elijah Mitchell's out, you know, for more than one game or two. But yeah, with Christian McCaffrey being injured now and Jordan Mason, like you said, he looked all right. He didn't get a whole lot of work, but he looked all right. They're going to be rotating him in, definitely, and it's going to hurt his workload a little bit, and it's going to cap his ceiling. So I think the fallout, the bottom line here with this whole event, this string of injuries, is that Christian McCaffrey is going to be pretty much sitting right where we had him, you know, last week.
I think so. I think he gets a little bit of a boost because I don't see Jordan Mason or Tevin Coleman like taking like the money touches away. Like,
yeah,
you have an argument for putting in Elijah Mitchell in certain situations, but like, if you have Jordan Mason on the field when you have Christian McCaffrey on the sideline, you know what I mean? If you have Tevin Coleman on the field when you have Christian McCaffrey on the sideline, it's like, what are we doing here? You know what I'm saying? So like, I think because of that, he gets a little bit of a boost. Hopefully that tendonitis isn't something that has to limit him too much. That's the hope. But we'll see. We'll see. Don't be surprised if Christian McCaffrey misses some practice time this week. But hopefully he'll be good to go for the game.
2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.